Well, the title of our lesson tonight is more about seeking God with patience. Excuse me, for really a number of months, we've been on the same theme. We've looked at a lot of issues, but our theme is that we are overcomers through the new birth. But many Christians fail to overcome in life, and we've been looking at how you can live like what you are, and we've specifically focused on the fact that if you're going to overcome in the hard times, in the difficulties, you have to learn how to be lifted up above in the midst of your circumstances, to be raised up above it somehow. Instead of the circumstances being on top of you, you're on top of them. It doesn't mean you like them, doesn't mean you want to be there, but you're on top of things. You're lifted up above. And we've used that phrase because that's the phrase we find in the Psalms. David talked about being lifted up. Now shall my head be lifted up above. Even though I'm surrounded by enemies, my head is lifted up. And we've talked a lot about that, and this is the angle that we've come at it from. If you want to be lifted up above in the difficulties of life, you have to learn to praise God continually, seek God continually, and walk in love continually.
Amen.
And we spent several months focusing on praising God continually. We've spent several months focusing on seeking God continually. I think this will be the last one of that. Hopefully Dennis is going to be doing next week and the next few Friday nights through the holidays. So I'm going to try to bring this to a conclusion tonight. And then afterwards, we'll pick up with walking in love. I want to be and do all that God has for me to be and do. You know, if we're going to be here, and we are, I want to be and do all that I can be and do. I don't want to be under things. I want to be on top of things. I want to be the victor that I am. I want to have in my body everything God's provided for me. I want to have in my soul everything that God's provided for me. And I want to walk in the light of everything I have in my spirit. So this is an important subject. Now, for a number of weeks, we've been focusing on seeking God. And we've said there are many, many, many aspects to seeking God. And there are many different reasons why we seek God. Hebrews 11:6, you're familiar with that. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're told to seek God there in faith, believing that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. He promises us there, if we seek his will, his way first, seek his righteousness, all the things we need to live this life will be added unto us. Now, last week, we began to talk about the importance and the place of patience in seeking God for help, in seeking God for answers. And in this lesson, we want to continue on. I didn't time the lesson very well last week, and I had to rush through a part of it, and I want to restate some of those things and amplify them, because I think this is one area where a lot of us have a lot of trouble. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, let me just start out by restating some things and adding to them. You don't have to turn to these two verses because I know you know them. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. As Christians, we're called to live and walk by faith. Now, there are two main reasons why we walk by faith. Now, before I say that, let me say this. What is faith? There's a lot of different ways to define faith, and there's good definitions, which we'll say in a moment. But here's one big thing. Here's what faith is. It's not sight. Whatever faith is, it involves not seeing for a period of time, okay? And we're called to live without seeing things. Now, why is that? Well, first off, there is an invisible, unseen, eternal realm. The invisible created the visible. The visible came out of the invisible. The invisible God created all that we see by speaking his invisible word. The invisible will outlast the visible and can change the visible. In that invisible realm is full provision and full power to live this life. Okay, you are now part of an invisible kingdom that has full power and full provision in it. Faith believes what it cannot see, and faith orders its life according to what it cannot see, according to invisible realities. That's one reason we're called to live by faith, because the greater reality is invisible or not perceivable to our natural physical eyes. So you got to live according to what you can't see. But the invisible power and the invisible provision of the invisible kingdom will produce physical, tangible results in our lives. That's the way it works in the kingdom. The invisible will produce visible results. But the invisible will only produce results in our lives through faith. Through faith. That's how it works, through faith. I mean, God can and sometimes does sovereignly move in people's lives and do stuff totally apart from faith. But that's the exception rather than the rule. And you have no guarantee. Many people die waiting for God to move sovereignly. Okay? But the invisible becomes visible through faith. We're saved by faith. We're healed by faith. Our needs are met by grace through faith. Faith is not moved by what it sees, but faith expects to see with its physical eyes. It expects to see with its physical eyes the results of that invisible power and provision. Now, let me look for a minute. I want to make sure I didn't leave something out here that I wanted to say. Okay. See, one of the problems with a lesson like this is I want to say everything I already said up until tonight before I actually say tonight. Okay. So I'm making sure. See, you know, we talk a lot about how God has fully provided for us through the cross, and he absolutely has. From God's point of view, you have everything you need. I have everything I need. Then why do we have to seek God for things? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. Not because you have to talk him into giving you. He's already given. But because it's invisible. Invisible doesn't mean not real. It means you can't see it. It's invisible, and you have to put forth effort to become conscious of what you can't see and to put what you can't see above what you can see. Yeah. That takes effort. That's where the seeking is. You have to seek in the avenues through which God has made himself known to us. Primarily through his written word. It takes effort. He's given us his word so we can see the unseen. So when we talk about seeking God for things, we're not talking about talking him into helping us. From his point of view, he's already provided everything we need through the cross. We're talking about becoming persuaded in and of ourselves of things we cannot see, so much so that we reach a position called faith, which we're going to talk about a little further in just a minute. But a position called faith, which activates or opens the door to the invisible to produce visible results. See, that's what we're trying to do in all of this, okay? Now, God has given us his word so we can see and believe the invisible. In his word, he tells us about the invisible. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. His word is given to us so we can see and believe the invisible. Why? So the invisible can produce results in our lives. Now, you understand when I'm talking about the invisible, people can get a little funny about this. I'm not talking about an impersonal force necessarily. I'm talking about Almighty God. But how many of you know the Bible says God's invisible? The Bible does say he's invisible. He's invisible. How many of you know his word is invisible? If he hadn't inspired men to write this down, I mean, you wouldn't see, once in the Bible, he moved sovereignly and put his word on a wall. You may remember that in the book of Daniel, but his word's invisible. But the invisible God speaks his invisible word, and it produces tangible results. The earth ministry of Jesus shows us that. Jesus stood up and said, "Peace, be still."
Yes.
And the invisible God, the Holy Ghost in him, through him, brought tangible physical results. Now, God has given us his word so that we can see the invisible. God has given us His Word to enable us to believe what we cannot see and to enable us to expect what we cannot see to change what we can see. On one level, to our natural mind, expecting something invisible to produce a visible result is a little bizarre. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's a little out there. God's given us His Word to help us believe invisible things, and He's given us His Word to help us expect to see the invisible produce visible results. God has promised to guide us with His eyes. We talked about that in detail a couple of weeks ago. One of His promises to the righteous is He'll guide us with His eyes or help us see what we cannot yet see. We used the example of this. We said it's like we're in a thick forest and can't see beyond a few trees, but God sits up on top of the trees and He can see to the edge of the forest. And He will guide us with His eyes from His vantage point of seeing and knowing everything, if we'll learn to walk not according to what we see, but according to what He says. He'll guide us with His eyes or help us see what we cannot see. The number one way He does that is through His written word. But the order in the kingdom is faith first, then sight. Believe first, then see. Mark 11:24. I know we're not looking at verses yet, but we will. We got a lot to look at. Mark 11:24. Jesus said, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received them, and you shall have them." If you believe you have it before you see it, you will see it. We live and walk by faith. Why? Because that's the way the kingdom works. It's an invisible kingdom with invisible power and invisible provision, which will produce physical, tangible results. But you have to believe all that before you see it, before you feel it. But the promise of God is, if you believe it before you see it and before you feel it, you will see it. Okay? Now, turn to Mark 11 for just a minute. Let's go. We looked at this last week, but not Mark 11, Mark 4. Let's start in Mark 4. We'll get to Mark 11 in just a minute. We talked about the parable of the sower sowing the word. In the parable of the sower sowing the word, Jesus explained how the kingdom of God works. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand other things He taught. Drop down to verse, we don't have to repeat the parable. I think everybody in here is familiar with it, okay? Jesus compared the word of God to a seed. Verse 11, and He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing you may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And He said unto them, know ye not this parable? Then how will you know all parables? Jesus told them about a guy that goes out to sow seed, and He describes how the seed falls on different types of ground and produces different types of results. The disciples said, we don't get it. What are you trying to say? And Jesus said to them, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand a lot of other things I taught. Unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Then He goes on to say, the seed is the word of God. When it is sown, it produces varying degrees of result depending on the quality of the ground in which it is sown. Some seed gets stolen away immediately before it produces anything. And then other seed produces some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, God works through His word. He sends His word, and when it is believed, He sends His word, He sends the seed, and when it is believed, when the seed is planted, it brings forth fruit or results. That's how the kingdom of God works. Invisible kingdom, you believe things you cannot see that have been revealed to you in the written word of God, and then that word produces visible results. Now, what is good ground? We did a whole lesson on this, but let me just refresh your memory. Here's two statements about good ground. Because people will read a parable like this, and they'll go, Well, no wonder it doesn't work in me. I'm not good ground. Well, you may not be, but good ground is correctable. Good ground is not, you're a jerk and it won't work for you. Good ground is, good ground understands how God works in his kingdom, first off. Good ground understands God works through his word. When you have the word of God, you've got your answer. You've got your answer. Good ground believes it has the answer before it can see it because it has God's word, the seed. We used this example last week. If you wanted tomatoes and somebody gave you a pack of tomato seeds, you have your answer because the potential to produce the tomato is in that seed. Nobody would be upset or think they got ripped off. If you were given tomato seeds and you wanted tomatoes, you understand that if the proper things are done with that seed, you'll end up with tomatoes. Well, the word is a seed. If you have the word, you've got your answer. Mm-hmm. Now, just like if I gave you a pack of tomato seeds, nobody would expect you to act like you had tomatoes. Nobody would expect you to start eating that package of seeds. No one would expect you to put the seed pack between two pieces of bread with some lettuce. Now, we understand that. Why? Because although you have your answer, you have the answer potentially. The proper things have to be done to the seed in order for you to have the full-blown result. And Jesus called the word of God like a seed. When you've got a word from God, from his scripture, about what you're dealing with, you have got your answer. Now, you have to start there. You have to start there. But see, we struggle with that because I'm with you. I don't just want the seed. I want the tomato. And God, you know, I understand that, okay? But you got to start. You got to understand how the kingdom works. That's what Jesus said. If you don't understand how the kingdom works, other stuff I taught you is not going to work either. It's going to be a waste of time. If you've got your word, if you've got the word of God, you've got the seed, you've got your answer potentially, okay? Now, so good ground understands that. Good ground understands that. And then secondly, good ground resists every challenge to the word of God, from sight, from thoughts, from emotions, from other people, and continues to agree with God until it sees it. Good ground resists every challenge to what God says. We spent quite a bit of time last week talking about how things rise up that challenge the word of God. Circumstances, feelings, thoughts rise up and say that word is not true. And good ground is able to resist the challenges. So good ground understands how the kingdom works. It works like a seed. You have the word, you've got your answer, potentially. And good ground is able to resist every challenge to the word of God. In fact, I didn't put this in the lesson, but I could. Well, no, I'll save that for later. I don't want to run out of time. I got a lot of good stuff, and this is my last night for a while, so I can't leave anything hanging. The fact that Jesus compared the word of God to a seed tells us several important things. Number one, seed means growth and a passage of time between when the seed is planted and when you actually see results. But nobody who understands how seed works is bothered or discouraged by that. Okay? If you've been given a pack of tomato seeds and you understand anything at all about farming or having a garden, you realize that there will be a passage of time between when you put those seeds in the ground and you actually are eating those tomatoes, but you're not upset by it because you understand the process. You're not going, what am I doing wrong? I must be missing it somewhere. What am I doing? Why is God with, you don't even do that. You put the seed in the ground and you wait, because you're confident, because you understand the process. Okay, I know I'm belaboring the point here, but that's what I do. I belabor. We understand the process. See, the farmer waits with patience between seed time and harvest time because he understands how seed works. It's first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Drop down a bit in this same chapter to verse 26. We read this verse last week, but I want to reread it. And he said, after Jesus had explained how the word is like the seed is the word, he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Jesus, right after he explains how the word is like seed, he says, it's just like a farmer. He puts seed in the ground, and he just goes about with his life. He goes about his business. He goes to bed at night. He gets up in the morning, and he knows the seed's doing its thing. He doesn't really understand how it works. I mean, if you're a scientist, I'm sure you can give all the details about how the little sprout puts its little thing out and blah, blah, blah. But the farmer doesn't have to know that. He just has to know, if I put it in the ground, it'll do its thing. And he's not concerned. He's not even concerned when he finally does start to see something coming up and it doesn't look like a tomato. That doesn't bother him at all because he understands it's first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Now, look at this. Look at James 5. Let's reread this. We read this last week, but I want to reread it. Okay. James 5. Verse 7. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman or the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Part of seed planting, growing, and harvesting is patiently waiting for it. Now, oh, I should have told you to leave your finger in Mark 4. Sorry, I do that all the time. But you probably know this anyway. Go back to Mark 4. Now, Jesus gave us another detail in Mark 4, which I want to remind you of. He said in this important parable that when the seed is sown or the word is preached, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. We talked about that last week, verse 15. And these are they by the word side when the word is sown, where the word is sown, but when they have heard Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And we made the point last week, we went into great detail, that when the word is preached, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. If you don't understand it, he can steal it immediately. If you do understand the word and you've received the word, he can't steal it from you, but he can get you to give it up. And the way he gets you to give it up is through circumstances that contradict what the word of God says. We looked at how the very same day Jesus preached this parable, the disciples got caught in a deadly storm on the Sea of Galilee, and the devil stole the word from them. Now, the fact that Jesus said Satan comes to steal the word tells us two things. First off, there will most likely be a period of time when you cannot see the word working, when you cannot see the seed working. How many of you know if the seed produced instant results, nobody could talk you out of it? If as soon as you put the seed in the ground, there was a tomato on top of the ground, nobody could come along and say, that's not working, you're not going to get tomatoes, what makes you think you have tomatoes? Who do you think you are? God doesn't love you. You didn't do it. And all the various things that come to us, if there was an instant result. So the fact that Satan comes immediately tells us that there could be some time when you don't see the seed working and you're vulnerable to being challenged by and giving into contrary evidence. Then secondly, when someone believes the word of God, during the time between when the seed is planted and the fruit is harvested, or when visible results are forthcoming, there will be things that come up in the sense realm that challenge or contradict what God's word says. Okay, the fact that the thief comes to steal the seed tells us there's probably going to be a passage of time, and there's going to be stuff that comes up that challenges the seed. Now, if you're going to be lifted up above in the midst of the difficulties of life, if you're going to see victory in your life, you must understand some things. When you believe the word of God, it does not always produce results that are immediately perceptible to your physical senses. Now, you're probably thinking, I came out on the night after Thanksgiving to have someone tell me that. I already knew that. But see, just because you can't see something happening doesn't mean nothing's happening. Now, we all agree with that. I'll tell you where I'm going before we get there. That way, if you fall asleep or you leave early, you'll have heard the lesson anyway. We all agree with what I just said, but we all let that go. We all let it go. How do I know? Because we're not seeing results in our lives. Now, I'll explain what I mean by that in just a minute. And I mean, remember, when I stand up here and teach, I'm on the journey with you, okay? I'm not holding myself up as an example. It's like we said before, if we had to wait till somebody was free from sin to preach holy living, nobody could get in the pulpit on Sunday, okay? You got to preach out beyond where you are, okay? So, and like I said last week, it's so easy to look at somebody like me and say, well, that all works for you. It's easy for you, but you don't understand. No, it's just as hard for me as it is for you, okay? I'm trying to encourage you and myself as well as we do this. Now, when you believe the word of God, it does not always produce results that are immediately perceptible to your senses, but that doesn't mean nothing is happening. Look at Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. This is where Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Verse 12, and on the morrow when they were come to Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they were come to Jerusalem. They went on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus spoke to this fig tree, said, nobody eat fruit from thee hereafter forever. Now, drop down to verse 20. This is the next day, okay? They spent the night in Jerusalem, or near, just outside the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. Now, when Jesus spoke to that fig tree, there was no immediate change in that tree that was perceptible to their senses, as far as we can tell. Now, how can I say that? Well, Peter pointed out the changes the next day. So I think it's reasonable to presume if there had been a change right then, he'd have pointed it out too. Okay? And he didn't say anything. There was no immediate change in the tree. But yet the next day the tree was dead, and according to Peter, it had died from the roots up. In other words, something began to happen when Jesus spoke the word and believed that what he said would come to pass. When he believed he had his answer to what he said, something began to happen right then. See, because Jesus, the disciples are surprised, but he goes on to say, have faith in God. That's literally have the God kind of faith. That's another lesson for another night. But he says two things to them. He says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Jesus taught them and showed them about faith and prayer in this account. He showed them by speaking to that tree and moving down the road, and by not being surprised the next day when the tree was changed. When Peter said, look, Jesus didn't go, Golly, would you looky there. Wow. I mean, let's be honest. When a prayer does occasionally get answered, isn't that how we usually feel? It's like, whoa, I actually got one answered. It actually worked. But Jesus didn't do any of that because he goes on to explain, this is what I did, guys. I believe that what I said would come to pass. And if you believe that what you say will come to pass, it will come to pass. And if you believe what things soever you desire when you pray, pray is more than just asking for things. Prayer is also, it's any kind of verbal expression designed to get God to move. That's really what prayer is, any kind of verbal expression designed to get moved, to get the power of God moving. That's prayer. Because Jesus, how many of you know, he didn't say, oh God, curse this fig tree, hit it with lightning bolts. He said, fig tree, die. Okay? That's called prayer. But he said, when you pray, believe that you have received them. That's the idea in the Greek. And you shall have it. Okay? And Jesus said, you guys can do this too. What I did, you can do. If you believe that what you say will come to pass, well, how can you believe that what you say will come to pass if you're speaking God's word? And how can you believe that what you pray, you've got before you see it? If it's God's word, if it's in the word of God. He said, you guys can do this too. Now, okay. Something began to happen as soon as Jesus spoke, but you couldn't see it. Now, how do we know something began to happen as soon as Jesus said it? Well, we know it two ways. We know it first because a few chapters earlier, he explained how the kingdom works. He says, the word is like seed, and when seed is planted, you go to bed and you get up, not worrying about how it works, confident that it is working. He went to Jerusalem that day, and that night they went to bed outside of the city. Just like we read in Mark 4, where Jesus said that's what the farmer does. He plants his seed, and then he goes to bed, and he gets up. He didn't really know how the seed works, but he knows it is working. And he understands first the blade, then the ear, then the full blade in the ear. I mean, if Jesus and the disciples would have sat down and watched that fig tree rather than go on into Jerusalem, what would they have seen? Well, Peter said it dried up from the roots up. He could tell, I assume, from looking at it, that it had been a progression. What would they have seen? First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. In other words, God's word spoken through our mouths, God's word prayed through our mouths, works like a seed. Works like a seed. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Now, when we believe the word of God, you plant the seed. If you want to say it that way. Or, here's another good way to say it, you begin a process. When you believe the word of God, you begin a process that will ultimately produce visible results. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When you believe the word of God, you begin a process that will ultimately produce physical, visible results. But when we believe the word of God, most of the time, there are immediate challenges from the sense realm. Immediate challenges from the sense realm. How do I know? A, Jesus said so. Satan comes immediately in Mark 4. But then here's another reason I know that there are sense knowledge challenges. Because we pray, and tell me if you've ever had this experience. You pray, you command, and immediately nothing happens. Okay? It's happened to me a time or two today. Well, what is that? Think about what that is. That is a sense knowledge challenge to what you just did. No change. Now, Jesus had those challenges. Remember, Jesus lived on earth as a man. When he spoke to the fig tree, immediately Nothing happened. Now, we don't think anything about that because it's Jesus. But remember the last time you spoke to a fig tree or whatever, and immediately nothing happened. Well, if you're like me, probably the first thing you did was, oh, that didn't work. Wonder what I did wrong. You know, how did I open the door to this or whatever? I mean, we all got the mental gyrations that we go through, okay? But Jesus didn't do that. Oh, yeah, but that was Jesus. But Jesus lived as a man who was tempted in all points, like as we are. Look at Mark 1 for just a minute. Let me read you. I don't know if you ever thought about this. Back up to chapter Mark 1. Jesus was in the temple one day, and there was this guy that had an unclean spirit. Let me start in verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Lord, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, now Jesus is about to issue the word of God in the form of a command. He's come to set the captives free. This guy is captive to a devil. He's about to pray here. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. In other words, Jesus just now speaks to the mountain. And remember what he said. If you speak to the mountain and you believe that what you said will come to pass, then what you said will come to pass. And Jesus said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you have received them, and you shall have them. Now, we have every reason to presume he's acting on that here, okay? So he speaks to this devil and says, come out. He believes that what he says will come to pass. He believes that he receives the answer to his prayer. And look what happens next, verse 26. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. The Amplified Bible says it like this, and the unclean spirit, throwing the man into convulsions and screeching with a loud voice, came out of him. Jesus commanded the devil to come out, and what's the very first thing that happened? The guy has another fit. That's what happened. He has another fit. He starts convulsing and screeching under the influence of that devil. Now, what do we do when that happens? I put we in there, me, okay? We're all in this together. We go, I guess it's not working. Now, Jesus could have done that. You want to know what would have happened if he'd have done that? That devil wouldn't have come out. Why? Because he'd have dug the seed up right then and there. He'd have dug the seed up. Or think about this. You don't have to turn over there because I know you're familiar with it. John 11. Where Jesus spoke to Lazarus in the tomb. Lazarus, his friend, was in the grave 4 days, bound with grave clothes. And Jesus says, Father, I thank you that you hear me. Thank you that you always hear me. I'm just saying that so these people standing here will hear. And then he goes, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out. But consider this. Lazarus was bound with grave clothes. Jesus had to tell everybody, let him go. Get those things off of him. So it's highly unlikely that he sprinted out of the tomb. How long did it take him to get out? Well, he would have been laying down flat somewhere, so he would have had to get off or get up before he could even start walking. You know, maybe it took him 5 minutes to get out of there. We don't know, because we don't know how big the burial chamber was. But here's Jesus. He goes, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately, nothing happened. Well, no, actually, that's not true. Something happened, you just couldn't see it. Because the seed goes to work when it's believed. How do we know? That's how the kingdom works. The kingdom works by faith through the word of God. When the word is believed, the seed is planted and the seed begins to work. And just like the farmer is not concerned because he doesn't see anything, because he understands how it works, Jesus was not freaked out. Why? Because he knew that if you believe that what you say will come to pass, what you say will come to pass. Yeah. And he knew that if you believe you have it before you see it, you will see it. See, and remember, Jesus lived on earth as a man. He had to walk by faith just as much as you and I had to walk by faith. Now, In each case, Jesus knew, if I believe it, I've got it. The word works like a seed. I have my answer in seed form. Jesus was more developed in faith than most of us. I think we can all agree with that. He had to live and walk by faith, just like we do, because he's our example of how sons of God are supposed to live. He was more developed in faith than we are. And he got visible results a lot quicker than we do. Okay? But that doesn't mean we can't get results.
Amen.
It means we have to stand without seeing or feeling for longer than Jesus did sometimes. Not because God is withholding, and not even necessarily because we're doing something wrong. If our faith is small and the mountain is big, it may take us a while to move the mountain. But Jesus said, if you believe you have your answer before you see it, you will see it. Why? Because that's how it works. If you believe you've got it, you planted the seed. And the seed, in the seed, is the potential to produce the result. When you believe it, when you believe God's word concerning something, it begins a process which will produce a physical, visible result. The challenges from the sense realm don't mean that nothing is happening. The challenges from the sense realm don't mean that it isn't working, just like when Jesus spoke to the fig tree. See, the biggest challenge to our senses, whenever we pray about this kind of stuff, the biggest challenge is nothing happens. Nothing happens. Now, see, we look at that like I must have done something wrong. But what if you looked at it as that's just a challenge? What if you looked at it as that's just Jesus, or that's just Satan coming to steal the word, like Jesus said? What if you looked at it that way? Instead of looking at it as we prayed and nothing happened, and believe me, I know all about that. But instead of, and see, our first reaction is, I guess it's not working. But I've planted seed in the ground. I've planted seeds in pots. And I have never once put seed in the ground. And because I didn't have a plant immediately, or even the next day, or even by the end of the week, I have never once said it's not working. Why? Because I understood how it worked. See, and I'm asking God to help me explain this in a way that I think I'm beginning to see it. I realized in a lot of ways the devil has really tricked us. His number one strategy is mental, okay? We've talked about that in great detail. Nowhere are we told to beware of the power of the devil. We're told to beware of the wiles, the mental strategies of Ephesians 6:11. And I think one of the biggest ones he's gotten all of us on is we pray and don't get results immediately, and the first thing we do, instead of recognizing that, see, if somebody came up to you and said, Jesus isn't God, there's no heaven, there's no hell. Show me heaven. Show me hell. Show me Jesus. I don't see Jesus. I don't see heaven. I don't see hell. No, none of us would go, oh, gee, I guess you're right. I guess this stuff really isn't true. We'd recognize that as a challenge to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But see, we pray and nothing happens, and we immediately conclude it isn't working. And by doing so, we're digging up the seed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What if we, instead of saying, I guess it's not working, what if we recognize the fact that there is no immediate change as a challenge designed to steal the word? And stood against it instead of throwing in the towel. I think we'd see more results.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Am I making
yes.
sense?
Yeah.
See, I know you always say that because you're really scared I'll start over again. But I promise you I won't. Let me work through the outline because I want to make sure I'm not skipping anything. The challenges from the sense realm don't mean that nothing is happening, that it isn't working. When we pray and don't get immediate or quick results, we immediately begin to wonder, is it working? We begin to think things like this, it isn't working. Our minds begin to wonder, what if I didn't plant the seed right? What if I didn't believe? What if I didn't really believe I received? Have you ever been on that merry-go-round? You know, Jesus said, believe you receive and you'll have. Okay, I believe I receive. And then I go, I believe I receive. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. I've been on that merry-go-round thinking maybe I didn't believe I received. Maybe I believe, but I didn't receive. Maybe I received, but I didn't believe. And see, what I'm beginning to realize is that's mental strategies of the devil. What is that? It's the contrary evidence that Jesus said would always come to challenge the word. And instead of taking it as contrary evidence that's come to steal the word, I take it as, I guess it didn't work. And I'm being duped. I'm being tricked. See, what are those things? All those objections your mind raises. Notice, your mind raises. When you believe the word of God and nothing happens, they are mental challenges to the process by which God works. They are mental challenges to the process by which God works. They are mental challenges to the way the seed or the word works. Jesus said, understanding that the word works like a seed is a key parable. If you don't understand that, you're not going to understand a whole lot of stuff. Well, those are mental challenges to how seed works. Seed does not produce overnight, automatic, instant results. But just because it doesn't produce the full-grown product right at the beginning doesn't mean nothing's happening, doesn't mean it doesn't start working as soon as it's planted. See, think about this. What does it mean to believe something? Faith and believe, they're really interchangeable words. If you look them up in the Greek, they come from the same root. What does it mean to believe? I mean, have you ever tried really hard to believe? I have. You try really hard to believe. And then to try to believe, I receive. And I'm not making fun here. I'm just telling you, this is where I've been, okay? What does it mean to believe something? You look it up in the dictionary. It simply means to accept something as fact, to accept something as true. See, when someone you trust says, I'll meet you at 4, we don't go through all these mental gyrations of trying to believe. Do I really believe? I believe I received the answer to that. I'm not sure I believe. Maybe I did believe. You either did or you didn't. You know, see, now why don't you go through those mental gyrations when somebody says, I'll meet you at 4? I'll tell you exactly why. Because Satan doesn't come to steal that word. He doesn't care if you believe that word. But if he cared, you'd get the same mental gyrations going on when you believe somebody's going to meet you at 4. If you planted the seed or believe the word, it has gone to work. How do I know? Jesus said so. Give it time to work. Here's what most of us do. I'm convinced this is what most of us do. We truly do believe, like on healing. Let's take healing, because I think everybody struggles with that. You believe God's provided healing through the cross, and with his stripes I am healed. I believe I have received it. And you really do believe it. You do believe it. You accept it as a fact. By his stripes I was healed. And because I have it, I'll see it. But what happens? Immediately, nothing in the sense realm. And Satan steals the word. Why? Because your own mind says, I guess it's not working. I must have done something wrong. What am I doing? And so you stop believing. But then you got to have it. You got to have the healing. So you do it again. Okay, I believe it. I accept it. Okay, I believe it. And nothing happens. And then the mental gyrations start. Maybe I didn't really believe. Maybe I didn't believe I received. Maybe I didn't. And all those. And what do? You stop believing. I guess it didn't work. What is, I guess it didn't work? You stop believing. That's what it is. Does that make sense to everybody? And I'm convinced that's what all of us do, because we don't understand how the seed works. I'm getting ahead of myself, okay. If you planted the seed or believe the word, it has gone to work. See, the seed is good. It's good seed. Yes. We said this last week. It's not about what's wrong with me or what's right with me. It's about the quality of the seed. Jeremiah 1:12. Let me read it out of the Amplified. Then said the Lord to me, "You have well seen, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it." Let me read Luke 1:37. This is also out of the Amplified. I see I left that off. Let me read it first out of the King James so you know which verse it is. 1:37. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." You're familiar with that. That's King James. Listen to how the Amplified says that. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." It's good seed. It's good seed. Yes. It's good seed. See, what do you do after you believe it when the challenge to your senses come? When Satan comes to steal the word, just start watering the seed. Just taking care of the seed like you would in the backyard. How? By thanking and praising God that you have your answer because you have his word. Amen. Praising God that you have your answer because you have the seed and the seed is working. Now that's where patience comes into the picture. Okay? You thought I forgot what I was going to talk about, but I haven't. That's where patience comes into the picture. You have to be able to exercise the same kind of patience that a farmer expresses when the seed is planted and he sees first just ground, then he sees the blade, then he sees the ear, then he sees the full grain in the ear. If the farmer did not understand the process of producing visible results, the process of producing fruitful works, he would never be able to produce a harvest because he wouldn't be able to wait. And see, that's where most of us are. If you don't understand how the seed works, you won't be able to add patience to your faith. Faith agrees with God. Faith says what God says. Faith expects to see results. But for faith to be fully effective, you have to add patience to your faith. Hebrews 6:12 tells us to be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Gosh, it takes me a long time to say stuff. praise the Lord. Okay. James chapter 1, verse 3. Well, let me read verse 2 first. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." According to this verse, the trying or the testing of your faith works patience. Now, remember these 3 points before we say anything else. We could do whole lessons on this. God does not test your faith with circumstances. The test is not from God. The trial is not from God. It's Satan come to steal the word. God's test is always his word in the circumstance. Will you keep believing his word despite what you see and feel? Now, that's a whole can of worms for another night. Jesus told us that Satan comes to steal the word from us by testing us through circumstances that make it look like God's word is not true. Trials do not create patience. We said this last week. You know, a lot of people say, oh, God brings trials into your life to make you more patient. That is not biblical. Trials don't make you patient. If they did, everybody would be patient because everybody has trials, saint and sinner. Patience is a fruit of the recreated human spirit. That's what Galatians, the 5th chapter, tells us. Trials work patience, or they give you an opportunity to exercise patience. Now, to be patient means to endure. The word most often used for patience in the New Testament is hupomino, and it means cheerful or hopeful endurance. And it has the idea of being patient or enduring with hope, sticking with it with hope in the midst of circumstances. Hope is confident expectation of coming good. If you understand how the kingdom works, that the word is like a seed planted and will ultimately produce a plant, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear, then you can endure in hope just like the farmer does. See, when you plant a tomato seed, you endure in hope. You're patient in hope. You wait with the confident expectation that sooner or later, you're going to see visible results because the seed is working, the process has begun, and the process will come to fruition and you'll see results. See, remember that we said this a couple weeks ago, that we overcome in this life by faith, we live by faith, we walk by faith. You have to understand there is a past, present, and future aspect to faith. This is so critical. Past is God has spoken, I have believed it, the seed is planted. Future is I see results. Remember we said earlier, if you had a packet of tomato seeds, nobody expects you to pretend like that's a tomato. Nobody expects you to put that on a hamburger. We have misunderstood faith. If you're sick, you're sick. That's not a bad confession. If you're sick, you're sick. For many of us, faith has become pretending because we're afraid not to pretend, because that'll really get us in trouble. The past is because God has spoken. The future is I will see. I don't see it right now. I don't see tomatoes now because all I got is the seed. I don't see healing now because all I got is the seed. But if you'll do the right thing with the seed, it begins a process that will produce a result in the future so you can wait in hope. Confident expectation. The past is because God has spoken, I will see in the future, and right now I am persuaded and I am patiently waiting while the seed does its thing. Amen. See, that's past, present, and future of faith. You've got to have all aspects of it. But if you understand the seed, I believe the seed, it's planted, and the process has begun. When the challenges come up, it's not working. Just like that would not move me from expecting to see tomatoes in my back garden, that is not going to move me from expecting to see healing in my body. See, does that make sense to everybody? We overcome in the hardships of life by faith. There is a past, present, and future aspect of faith because God has spoken. That's past. I will see. That's future. And right now, I'm fully persuaded, and I can hold on to God's word. I can endure. I can stick with it until I see because I know I will see. Why? Because the seed works. It's not about what's right or wrong with me. It's not about have I really believed, have I really received. It's about I accept as fact, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. The seed is planted. I thank you that the seed's at work and I shall see. I will see. I'll be eating that tomato on my hamburger. Thank you very much. Now, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith gives you an opportunity to exercise patience or hopeful endurance. But let patience or hopeful endurance have her perfect work that you may have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The end result of endurance, of hopeful endurance added to your faith, is that you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Beck's translation says, then let endurance finish its work so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The Amplified says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. You have to have patience because God has spoken, because I have his word, I will see, and I can hopefully endure. I can stick with it, not give up the seed, not give up the word, just because I don't see results now. Look at Hebrews 10:36. We looked at this last week. Let's read it again. We'll be back to James 1 in just a minute. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. It says, For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. To receive the promise of God, to have the promise of God in your experience, you must exercise patience after you've done the will of God, according to this verse. Now, what does it mean to do the will of God? Well, it means a lot of things, but one of the things it means is to agree with God. We're told to hold fast to our profession of faith, or hold fast to saying the same thing God says. When you agree with God and believe you have something before you see it or feel it, you plant the seed, and if you will endure, if you will stick with it, if you will not give it up, you will ultimately see. That's what Mark 11:24 says. If you believe you have it, you'll see it. Now back to James 1 here. James chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, in these verses, James, there's a lot we could say that we're not going to deal with, but James gives us insight into the kind of faith that together with patience makes us perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It is a faith that does not doubt. It is a faith that does not doubt. The word doubt means to hesitate. It literally means to be in strife with oneself. It can be translated as hesitate or waver. Have you ever been in strife with yourself? I believe the word. Oh, maybe I don't believe it. Well, I believe it, but it's not working. I believe the word, but I feel worse. It looks worse. You're in strife with yourself. That's doubt. Now, hold your finger there, but look at Mark 11 for just a minute. I just want to reread one line. We'll get this done here on time. Mark 11. Look at Matthew 21. Let me read you Matthew. Sorry. Okay. Matthew 21. I want to read you Matthew's account. This is Matthew's account of Jesus cursing the fig tree. Verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which is done to the fig tree, but you shall also, but if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done unto you in all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Jesus, when he talked about the fig tree, said, don't doubt. Back to James. James said, let him ask in faith, not doubting, not doubting. We're not to doubt. Jesus said to see things change, you must believe and doubt not. Look at Romans 4 real quick. Romans 4 talks about how Abraham got visible results through faith. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That word staggered there is doubt. To doubt is to stagger, to go back and forth, to go back and forth. Have you ever done that? Every one of us here, we go back and forth. I've got it. No, I don't. It's working. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it's not. What have I done? He staggered not through at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God about what? I got his word. The word is working. It's working. The seed is working. The seed is planted. The seed is working. Now, go back to James chapter 4, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The man who doubts is double-minded. To doubt is to be in strife with yourself. To doubt is to hesitate. To doubt is to waver. The man who doubts is double-minded. Now, double-minded there, it's actually all one word in the Greek, and it means two-spirited or vacillating in opinion and purpose. Weymouth says it is a man of two minds. This is what most of us do. We believe the word of God. We really do believe it at that moment. But when sense knowledge challenges arise, we doubt, we hesitate, we are in two minds. Nothing's happening. I don't see change. I know God says healing is mine. I believed it, but I'm not seeing any changes. It must not be working. I must be doing something wrong. And we fall into the trap of the devil, and he steals the word from us because we give it up. How, if you will endure or exercise patience and just keep believing, don't stop believing, you will see, you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, how can I just keep believing? How can I not stop believing? How do you stop believing? I'll tell you exactly how you stop believing. When you decide it isn't working because you don't see anything, you just stop believing. If you'll keep believing, how do you keep believing? You keep believing it's working because you understand how the seed works. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
See, you can wait with patience, with cheerful or hopeful endurance, because you understand how the seed works. It's not about what's right or wrong with me, it's about what's right with the seed. God is invisible, and he presides over an invisible but very real kingdom. Our physical senses cannot perceive God in his kingdom, and we have to put forth effort to see God or to be conscious or aware of him and his help and provision. It takes effort to live according to what we cannot see or feel. We have to seek for that information and seek to put it over and above everything we see and feel. If you're going to live by faith effectively, you have to understand the place of endurance. You have to understand the place of patience. Make up your mind that you are going to keep believing what God says despite what you see or feel. Make up your mind that you are going to refuse to doubt God's word. Can you do it? I believe we can. Yeah. You know, if that guy said to you, I'm going to meet you at 4 o'clock, and you knew and trusted that person, and someone else came up to you and said, he's not going to be there. You know how to keep believing. You know how to resist that doubt. Well, why can't we do it with the Word of God? It's because we're not developed in walking according to what we can't see. If I can't see it, it must not be working. Well, that's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom works like a seed. You can't see it. You can't see it, but it is working. Does this make sense? I wish I could start over. If I could teach this to you again, it would be really good. Okay? It would be really good. Let me just wrap this up. You cannot do this. See, make your mind. I'm just going to keep believing. I refuse to doubt. I'm not going to go through that anymore. Yes, I believe it. I believe I'm healed. Yeah, but it's not working. I'm not going to do that anymore. I am healed. Now, what does that mean? Is it visible? No. Just like I'm not putting the pack of tomato seeds on the hamburger. If you hurt, you hurt. If you're in pain, you're in pain. No, faith is not denying what you see. Faith is believing what God says until you see changes. You can't do this if you don't understand how the invisible kingdom works. The sower sows the word, and when it is believed, it brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. The seed is good. It will produce. Faith activates the seed, the word of God, and just as the seed is good and can be depended upon, faith is a law that always works. See, it's the seed and faith together. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's never been a case in history where somebody put faith in the Lord, called on the name of the Lord as Savior, and they weren't saved. Why? It's a law. It has to work. James 5:15 says the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. The prayer of faith is believing you have it before you see it. If you believe you have it before you see it, that law shall heal the sick. Why? Just like the law of sowing and reaping. If you plant a seed, you shall reap. If you don't dig your seed up, why do we give up the Word of God in the hard times? Because the Word of God has been stolen by the devil through circumstances. We were unable to stick with it, unable to endure, hopefully, with patience. We didn't exercise patience. But knowledge of the truth knowledge of reality as it truly is will lift you up above the circumstances of life until you see with your eyes the result of God's word. It will help you endure. If we will continue to seek God in his word, seek those things which are above, we'll be lifted up above, and he'll guide us with his eyes. Psalm 119, verse 45 says, "So having sought your precepts, I will walk in your word." John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, if we continue in his word, we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. I want to encourage you. Galatians 6, 9 says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, because in due season we will reap if we faint not. Keep believing and refuse to doubt. The seed will produce. The process will come to fruition if you keep believing and refuse to doubt. Amen. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I ask you to personalize this lesson. Help each one of us, Father, help each one of us to see more clearly, understand more fully how you work in our lives through your word. And I pray that each one of us will be inspired afresh and anew to just dig in our heels and say, I'm not moving. The seed is good. The seed works. Faith is a law. I will have. God has spoken, and I will see. And right now, I am hopefully enduring. I am patiently waiting to see with my eyes the result of what God has spoken and has provided. Dear Father, I thank you and praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, God.
We're done for tonight. I went a little over. Sorry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.